Good morning and welcome to worship on this beautiful Sunday morning. It is Pentecost Sunday, sometimes called the birthday of the church, the beginning of the church outreach to the world, because it's the day that Jesus sent his Holy Spirit to do the work inside of us and through us so that we can proclaim the good news to the rest of the world. So happy birthday, church, and happy, thankful hearts for the Holy Spirit of God. We do have a few announcements as we begin our time together. One announcement is that we have a hike that is organized for Staunton State Park on Saturday, June 5th. It's going to be led by Scott Knight, our very own Scott Knight, and a few of his friends. And it's going to be a great day, a great hike. You can register for that online. Also, I'd mentioned that we have Vacation Bible School and Day Camp. You can register for either one of those events. There's some the summer events online, and also we're looking for youth volunteers. You can also volunteer online. So please, Vacation Bible School and Day Camp are filling up, so we do need some help. We need some confirmation high school age youth to help us out with that. Also, I just want to remind you that our Sunday morning worship time changes on the 30th. May 30th, there will be one service at 9:30 instead of 8 o'clock and 10:30. So only one service on May 30th. The Saturday night service will remain the same, but you are so welcome to come in person. And remember that we have had these changes that we've talked about. You're welcome to come worship in person at any time. Folks who have been fully vaccinated do not have to wear, are not required to wear masks. But I just want to say, if you would like to wear a mask, that's completely up to you. Everyone is welcome to come and worship here at Joy. Finally, there are laundry baskets in the narthex, and if you remember, we put these laundry baskets out with our graduates, our high school graduates, the people who are transitioning, and those baskets are going to remain out there for a couple more weeks. Again, we're asking that maybe you consider giving a gift card this year, maybe a Starbucks gift card or a movie or anything like that, because it's been a year where they haven't had a chance to have too many experiences out there in the world, and now things are opening up. So it's a good time to help them celebrate their accomplishments. And speaking of the graduates, let's take a moment right now, and we can recognize those who are graduating this year from high school and a few from college, and celebrate with them.
May the angels protect you, trouble neglect you, heaven accept you when it's time to go home. May you always have plenty, your glass never empty, and know in your belly you're never alone. May your tears come from laughing, you find friends worth having, with every year passing they mean more than gold. May you win but stay humble, smile more than grumble, and know when you stumble you're never alone. Never alone, never alone. I'll be in every beat of your heart when you face the unknown. Wherever you fly, this isn't goodbye. My love will follow you, stay with you. Oh, you're never alone. Well, I have to be honest, as much as I wanted, I'm not gonna promise the cold winds won't blow. So when hard times have found you and your fear surrounds you, wrap my love around you, you're never alone. Never alone, never alone. I'll be in every beat of your heart when you face the unknown. Accept you when it's time to go home. And when hard times have found you and your fear surrounds you, wrap my love around you, you're never alone. Never alone.
That concludes our announcements for today. We continue our worship today by passing the peace, the way we always begin. So the peace of the Lord be with you all. Let's take a moment to share that peace with the people around us or the people out there via text, email, however you want to do it. God's peace. We continue with our confession. We begin our worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So let's take a moment for personal silent reflection. Together we confess. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. For his sake, God forgives us all of our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by Christ's authority, I therefore declare to all of us the entire forgiveness of all of our sins. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue with our opening hymn, God of Tempest, God of Whirlwind.
God of Tempest, God of Whirlwind, as on Pentecost descend, drive us out from sheltered comfort, past these walls your people send, sweep us into costly service, there with Christ you bear.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray together the prayer of the day. Mighty God, you breathe life into our bones, and your Spirit brings truth to the world. Send us this Spirit, transform us by your truth, and give us language to proclaim your gospel. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue with our Bible lessons for today.
Our first reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. Originally, Pentecost was a Jewish Thanksgiving-type festival celebrated 7 weeks after Passover. On this particular Pentecost, however, Holy Spirit is poured out upon the entire community of believers just as Jesus had promised and the scriptures had prophesied. Empowered by the Spirit, the entire community bears witnesses to God's activity in multiple languages. When the day of Pentecost had come, the apostles were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at the sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of the Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, the visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea, and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on this name of the Lord shall be saved." The responsive psalm is the 104th psalm, verses 24 through 34 and 35b. How manifold are your works, O Lord! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Yonder is the sea, great and wide, with its swarms too many to number, living things both small and great. There go the ships to and fro and Leviathan, which you made for the sport of it. All of them look to you to give them their food in due season. You give it to them, they gather it, you open your hand, and they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. You send forth your spirit, and they are created, and so you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever, O Lord. Rejoice in all your works. You look at the earth and it trembles. You touch the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will praise my God while I have my being. May these words of mine please God. I will rejoice in the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Hallelujah. The second lesson is from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 23 through 27. By pouring the Holy Spirit into our hearts, God gives us the promised first fruit of eternal life so that we await God's future in hope. In the meantime, the Spirit also intercedes for us by carrying the prayers of our weak human hearts to God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for the adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we are saved. Now hope is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with the sighs for deep words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God.
Gospel for this Pentecost Sunday comes from the Gospel of John, the 15th and 16th chapters. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify because you have been with me from the beginning." I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, and you will see me no longer. And about judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but he will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I have said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We continue now with our children's sermon.
Dwelling inside, breath of heaven, be my guide. Holy Spirit, dwelling inside, breath of heaven, be my guide.
Well, good morning, boys and girls. It is so good to be with you again on this beautiful Sunday. And today is a special kind of Sunday. And you know that it's special because whenever we have the colors red out, you know that something important is happening. Today is Pentecost. And Pentecost is the day when we acknowledge and remember how the Holy Spirit of God was poured out upon all the world. And it didn't matter where you were from, and it didn't matter who you were or what you'd done. The Holy Spirit is loose, and it is moving around the world, in and through the lives of people. But it's also a day that we remember that we have a job to do. We are called to carry on the mission of Jesus, which is to say, to tell about Jesus and to tell about the good news of Jesus' death and resurrection. Now, you know, we experience death and resurrection in our lives too. Not just Jesus, we experience it as well. And the Holy Spirit is the one who reminds us that whenever we have those times in our lives when things aren't going quite so well, when things are feeling kind of crummy, that resurrection is coming. And resurrection is good news for you and for me. And it reminded me of this story. I have here a paper crane that I made. And there's a story about a young girl who was living in Japan many, many years ago. And she became very, very sick. She was only like 12 years old, but she became very, very sick. And when she was in the hospital, she learned about the story of the crane. And the crane was a symbol of hope and peace and comfort. And she learned that even though she was experiencing this really difficult time in her life and she was very, very sick, she knew that there were other people in the hospital who were sick as well. And so she decided that while she was in the hospital, she made it her mission to create 1,000 of these paper cranes. 1,000. Now, I made this one, and it took me a very, very long time to figure out how to do it, and I even messed up quite a few times, but I can't imagine doing 1,000 of these. And her purpose, her mission, was to remind people that even though they were in the hospital, and even though they were sick, even though they were having a really, really hard time, Her purpose was by giving them cranes, these paper cranes, was to remind them that resurrection is coming, to not lose hope, to be filled with the peace, to be filled with peace knowing that they are loved. That's kind of like what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit reminds us that not only in our lives when we're experiencing hard times, that resurrection is coming, that new life is coming, because God has promised that we will have new life. But the Holy Spirit is there to comfort us and to encourage us then to go out into the world and share that same message with other people. So if you've got a friend who's having a hard time, maybe giving them a little reminder to have hope and to remember that God is with them and that the Holy Spirit is leading them to a place of new life is just what they need to hear. And I can't imagine better people to share that good news than you. You are perfect for this job, and I'm so glad that you're here to do it. Let's have a prayer. Good and gracious God, we thank you for this day when you poured out your Holy Spirit upon all the earth as the ultimate reminder that no matter what happens in life, no matter all of the hard times and the struggles that we have, you are with us. And as long as you are with us, you will lead us back to new life. This is a good story. And it's a story that has a perfect, happy ending. Thank you for giving us the promise that when we experience hardship, that there is always resurrection. And that we are a part of your family of faith. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, Amen. All right, friends, remember, don't lose hope. The Holy Spirit is with you, now and forever. Bye, friends.
What unites people? Armies, gold, flags, stories. There's nothing in the world more powerful than a good story. Nothing can stop it.
Brothers and sisters, grace and peace to you from God and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. You know, Scripture makes some things abundantly clear to those who hear it and read it. We learn that there is a God, and that this God is filled with love, nothing but love. And this God is so full of love that it's poured out over all of creation. Think about that just for a moment, that the love of God is so full that it is poured out upon all the earth. The earth in all of its uniqueness and diversity, this creation, this world that we call home, broken though it may be, is covered in the love of God. And that means that you are loved. You are uniquely and wonderfully and beautifully made by this God who so loves the world. And that includes you. And part of what makes you so unique and beautiful is that your whole life is actually a story. As human beings, we are bound by time. Everything we do is bound into the realm of time. Come and gone. Minutes, seconds, hours, days. The only way that we make sense of our lives is through story. And it's because we live in time. So as time moves on, so does your story. Day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, your story is unfolding and being told. And each person here, every person on the planet, every person who has existed throughout history has a story that is unique, just as unique and diverse and beautiful as each person is unique and beautiful and diverse. But on Pentecost, something happens. On Pentecost, we are actually reminded that for all of the various stories that have ever existed throughout history, we are really telling one story. And it's the story of death and resurrection. Now, I know it sounds a little bit odd to put it that way, to say that your whole life story can be boiled down to the narrative of death and resurrection, especially when, by the strictest of definitions, the fact that we're all here today, living and breathing, it means that we haven't, again, in the strictest of terms, we haven't experienced death and resurrection. But part of what Pentecost is, and part of what Pentecost does, is it reminds us that we are to broaden our understanding, that we might grow in faith to see this God in a new light, to understand God in a new way. And so, if we take that logic, or if we take that sentiment of Pentecost and we apply it to this idea of death and resurrection, it may be that while you have not physically died and been raised from the dead, you have experienced the effects of death and resurrection. You have experienced what death and resurrection is like. Because there really is no other story. Our whole lives, the whole of history is a story of death and resurrection happening over and over and over again. That is the narrative that we are living in our lives. That we live in this broken world and we experience the hurt and the pain and suffering of death. But we also experience the joy and the peace and the hope of new life that is the resurrection. Don't believe me? Well, let's take a journey through Scripture and just see how this story of death and resurrection plays out time and time again. And there are so many more examples of this than we couldn't possibly have the time to explore in this sermon, but let's take a look at a few of them. Abraham and Sarah. Abraham and Sarah were without children. They had no heirs. They had no family. They had no ancestors to carry on their family line. And in that day and age, though they were alive and they were breathing, the fact that they didn't have any descendants meant that they were as good as dead. The disappointment of not having children was like a death for them. They wanted nothing more in all of their lives than to have children. And the fact that they couldn't was death rearing its ugly head. But remember, the story is about death and resurrection. It's a story of a God who refuses to allow death to be the end of any story. And so resurrection happens. Because that is who God is. And resurrection comes in the form of a child named Isaac. This birth of this impossible child, born in the most improbable way to the most unlikely of people, raised Abraham and Sarah to new life. It was resurrection for them. They had descendants as numerous as the stars, more than any of them could count. Because wherever there is death, God shows up and promises resurrection. Consider Moses and the people of Israel. The people were enslaved in Egypt for hundreds of years. The oppression, the brutality of slavery, being treated as less than human, being stripped of your dignity and your humanity, it could be described as nothing short of a death. Moses, who was forced to flee from his people, to live estranged, to live as a stranger and leaving behind his relationships, his family, his friends. Though he was alive, he was alive physically, it was as though he had died. Moses and the Israelites shared this common bond of knowing the power and the feeling of death all too well. Until the God who so loved the world refused to let it be this way. So they crossed the Red Sea. And yes, it was an escape from Egypt, but it was more than that. It was resurrection. They crossed the sea and entered into new life. On one side of the sea, they were dead, but God leads them on an impossible crossing to the promise of new life on the other side. Death and resurrection. That is who this God is. That is the story of this God. What about Paul? Or I should say Saul, because before encountering Christ on the road to Damascus, Saul was a zealot for God. No one could question his faithfulness. He was committed to serving God, except for he forgot that this is a God of resurrection. And so he persecuted the church. He arrested and he killed the followers of Christ, never realizing that he was doing it to Christ himself. Completely missing that this is a God of life and resurrection and love. He thought he was doing the faithful thing, but in one moment, all that is stripped away from him. He thought he saw, and then he's blinded. His vision is taken from him, because this is a story that cannot end with death. It could never be about death. And so Christ comes to Saul and says, this story will not end with death. It must end with resurrection. It will end with resurrection. And with the loss of his sight also came the loss of Saul and who he used to be. He died. He died only to be resurrected again, because this is a story that has to have a new ending. And so he was called, raised from his zealous commitment to death. He was raised from that death into new life. Called to be an apostle, to share the story, the only story there is, the story of how, yes, death is real. But more importantly, so is resurrection. It's the story of how wherever death is manifesting itself, resurrection is coming. That's the story. That's the promise. And so I wonder, what about you? When you think about the narrative of your life, where have you experienced death? I mean, it could be a physical death, but where have you been touched by the effects of death? And how have you been raised to new life? Maybe you lost your job. Maybe a relationship with a loved one isn't what it used to be. Maybe you didn't accomplish something that you worked so hard for and you poured all of your blood, sweat, and tears into, and it doesn't work out. Maybe you had to say goodbye. Maybe you had to leave a place you loved. Or maybe you just spent 15 plus months being bogged down by a global pandemic. But I promise you that no matter what death has looked like in your life story, no matter how it has affected you, it is never the end of your story. There is resurrection. And you are baptized into this story of death and resurrection. You are baptized by the power of Christ, baptized in Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. You are baptized into this story, and it is now your story. Because there is nothing more powerful than a story. And the thing is, you already know it. There's only one to tell. And now on this day of Pentecost, when we know that we are living without the physical embodiment of Christ, Christ is no longer with us in the blood and flesh, we are not alone. We are not alone in this task of storytelling. Jesus lived the story of death and resurrection and helped us to see that it is our story. It is our lived experience that every single day we experience this tension of death and resurrection. And now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, poured out upon this whole world that God has loved so much, we are called into the mission of sharing that story. Because people haven't heard. People have lost hope. People have begun to wonder whether resurrection is just a nice idea. Pentecost isn't the start of something new. It's finding our place in a story that has always been. It's the promise that no matter what happens, the Spirit will be there to remind us of our lines, to go to the places where death exists and to say, this is not it. This is not the end. Though we live in a world of brokenness, a world where death is so real, it's not over. It is not over. Resurrection is coming. Always in response to death. The young will see visions. The young will see visions of new life, new hope, new possibility, believing against all belief that resurrection is possible and it is coming. The old will dream dreams. They will dream of the days when the fulfillment of the resurrection promise is made real for everyone, when everyone sees and acknowledges and realizes that out of death comes resurrection. That is who God is. And the only way that this can be shared is through your unique and personal life story. Because that's where it's happening. guided by the Holy Spirit, your story, my story, our story has become one with Christ's story, with God's story. And so today on Pentecost, we remember that the Holy Spirit is with us and that we have a place in that story. We remember its power in our own lives, and then we speak of its power to others. Because nothing is more powerful in all the world than a good story. And this is the best story because it's the only story. So tell it. Tell it. Tell the story of resurrection. Because you will find that nothing matters more to people than to know and to believe and to hope that death does not win. Resurrection happens. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us join together and confess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord Jesus, you promised us that you would send us a power, a helper, someone to be with us, to help us accomplish your work in this world. And then on the day of Pentecost, we celebrate that you gave us your Holy Spirit, the power of God that lives inside of us. We can rely on the Holy Spirit to be our strength as we live our lives and go through this cycle of life, death, and resurrection. Please help us to rely on the Spirit at all those stages, even when we're full of life and everything is good. Help us to believe in you. And when we experience death and difficulties in our lives, help us to remember that your Holy Spirit is inside of us and we will live again. On this Pentecost day, we celebrate and we love your Holy Spirit. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. This morning we also celebrate with those who have graduated from high school or from college, who are part of our congregation. We give you thanks, God, that you've been with them all their way through their educational process. We celebrate their accomplishments, all the hard work that they've put in, everything they've done to get to this point. We thank you for their perseverance, especially during this difficult year, how you've upheld them and encouraged them to move on and to keep going. And now, Lord, as they make this transition, we ask that you pour out your Holy Spirit on all of them and help them to understand that this is their home and that we love them as they go on to the next thing. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our church this morning, Lord, as we go through the process of reopening. We ask that you surround us with the power of your Holy Spirit. Help us to be filled with joy and love. Help us to encourage other people to worship with us and to be a part of our community. Help us to care for those who aren't quite comfortable yet. Help us to love them with all of our hearts and souls and mind and to be kind to each other wherever we stand in this process. And Lord, as we reopen, protect us. Protect us from all the things that would hold us back. We've waited so long. Thank you, God. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And again, Lord, today, we remember our brothers and sisters who are struggling with issues of health, whether it's physical or mental or relationships, anything that's difficult for them right now. We lift up these people now silently in our own hearts. We ask that you be with all those who are currently seeking medical advice or going to have surgery. Guide the doctors, the nurses, all who care for your people. We also want to say a word of thanks today, Lord, because we rejoice with Janet Francisco over the good news of for her niece, Christina, whose home and healing and strengthening. You know, we cried out to you, we asked for help in prayer, and you've answered our prayer. And so now we come back and we say, thank you, Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, who's our Lord and Savior. Amen. We continue our worship with our offering, and as we've been doing these last, 15 months, we use this time to think about how the Holy Spirit is moving in our life and raising us from the dead and giving us a new chance to proclaim Christ. Come, Holy Spirit. Continue with the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is indeed right and salutary. It is our joy and our duty that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. Fulfilling the promise of the resurrection, you have poured out the fire of your Holy Spirit, and you've united us into one body, every nation, every language. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, we praise your name and we join their unending hymn. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, maker of the universe. Your mercy is everlasting, and your faithfulness endures from age to age. We praise you, Lord, for in the night in which he is betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Jesus taught his friends, his disciples, how to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. brothers and sisters in Christ, this is the body of Christ given for you. And this is the blood of Christ shed for you. I invite you to receive the blessing. And now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, strengthen us and keep us always in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. O God, we give you thanks that you've set before us this feast, the body and blood of your Son. And now by your Holy Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as bread to the hungry. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And now may Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless us and keep us now and forever. Amen. We sing our sending hymn. Now, go in peace to share the love of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God. Amen.